60 years ago. And we look at those 60 years and we ask the question. Ask the question of Anna Bligh and ask the question of Kevin Rudd. Has anything really changed? Has anything got better? Or is it getting worse? 1948. The United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. It wasn't until the referendum was called to change the constitution in 1967 that Aboriginal people were even counted in the national census. 1967. Thanks, Donald. That's been a long, hard struggle. And we looked at 1948 and the way our people were placed at that time, and we looked at 2008 and we asked that question. Has anything changed? Has anything changed? I mean, we started our mainstream political struggle on the streets of Brisbane in the 1960s. This building right here, this huge hotel. The building that used to be there was the State Department of Native Affairs, they used to call it. State Department of Native Affairs. Native Affairs used to administer the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people through the Protection Act. And in 1971, we had our first major Aboriginal political march right here in November 1971 against that place there. Because we marched, we demanded the state government remove the Racist Act that regulated our lives and their very existence from the statute books. And we marched on the State Department of Native Affairs in November 1971. And we, quite a few of us, got bashed, quite a few of us got arrested. We made our point. Those acts were reviewed and eventually wound back. But the regulations are still in place. The reserves are still there. And right across Queensland, Aboriginal people are still being denied those basic human rights that were enshrined in that document that was released 60 years ago. And not too long ago we saw the Howard government introduce that intervention in the Northern Territory. Not too long ago we saw the Bligh government bring those regulations and interventions into four designated communities in a state. And again, Aboriginal people are being put to one side, we're being marginalised, we're being denied the same access to goods and services that are being enjoyed and accessed by the general community. 60 years ago, that proclamation was made. But here in 2008, you look at the situation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across Australia, and it is appalling. It is appalling. Aboriginal people have the highest unemployment rate in Australia. I mean, the national unemployment rate is 5.5%. On most Aboriginal communities, the unemployment rate is upwards of 85, 90, 95%. That is unacceptable. Aboriginal people are still the most over-arrested people in the general community. We can't walk down the street without cops pulling up, bang, and we're off to the watch house and the dark. Most over-arrested people, we appear in court far more often than non-Indigenous people. When we get into court, we stand a far higher chance of going to jail. Yeah. We're only 2.5% of the Queensland state population. 2.5%. Yet, the jail population are 35-40% Aboriginal. That is not acceptable. Out here at the Wacol Youth Detention Centre, there are 97 young boys in that youth detention centre at Wacol. 62 of those are Aboriginal. And that is wrong. That is wrong. We are not saying that's right, brother. Aboriginal people aren't a criminal people. We're not a criminal people. We don't commit crime at a higher rate than other members of the community. But, as I said, we're being arrested at a far higher rate. We're being imprisoned at a far higher rate. And once our people get into the criminal justice system, our people aren't given the same access to probation or parole orders as other prisoners coming up for review. So the system is designed to imprison Aboriginal people. Once you get into the system, the rules and regulations are enforced to keep us in there. And that again is unacceptable and a direct breach of those same rights that were enshrined in law back in 1948. And we look at what has happened with the intervention. We look at the intervention of the Northern Territory, We look at the intervention that come into Queensland. We look at the Queensland record on Aboriginal affairs. And we say that Anna Bligh and her government have a great deal of plans for. And it's up to the people of Queensland to hold the Bligh government and hold the Rudd government accountable for the crimes they've committed against Aboriginal people. Across the banners, you can see some of the issues that concern Aboriginal people. Death in custody. We have a brother in a council jail, Lex Watton. Lex Watton was a brave Aboriginal man. In November 2004, when a brother known by the name of Mulrunji Dimitri was arrested and then murdered by police officers in the Palm Island Washout, a great number of Aboriginal people on Palm Island rose up and tried to find out exactly what had happened to brother Mulrunji. A number of things happened, and then a number of our people were arrested. Brother Lex was charged with very serious offences. A political campaign to support him and his family was mounted. The trial was down here in the Brisbane Supreme Court, and then tragically we saw an all-white jury find Brother Lex guilty. Brother Lex is in jail. So over the Christmas period, if you have a few spare minutes, it would help Brother Lex and his family a great deal if you send a Christmas card or a letter up to Lex. That way you know we're still thinking of him and we're still supporting him. The latest word is that his lawyers are still going through the court transcript to find out if they can mount an appeal against the conviction. And we sat through. We sat through every day of his trial. We went through every skerrick of the evidence. We saw the witnesses. We listened to a key senior police witness officer, a senior police officer, actually admitted on the stand that yes, he had lied in court to protect his mate, Senior Sergeant Chris Hill. That was admitted, that was in the court record. Yet the jury went out and came back with that verdict of guilty. And Brother Lex is up there in the council jail. So like I said, over the Christmas period, it would do him and his family a great deal of good if people just write, send him a letter, send him a Christmas card, let him know that we're thinking of him. We still have to mount. We are still running this petition campaign. We are lodging every petition we get straight to the Queensland Parliament. So please, we need to maintain that. We have people sending petitions in from right across Queensland, right across Australia. We are demanding a royal commission into the death in custody of Mulrunji Dimitri, November 19, 2004. We believe that only through a royal commission can we expose everything that happened in that police watchout. The police witnesses all lined up behind Hurley and backed his story. But we need to get those police witnesses onto the stand and under oath. And we need to cross-examine those police witnesses to find out exactly what happened to Brother Mulrunji. Because Hurley, in his own trial up in Townsend, did admit that yes, he had caused the death of the prisoner in his custody. We need to find out what happened on that day, November 19, 2004. We need to do that through a royal commission. And the only way the Queensland government can be forced into holding a royal commission is if we maintain massive public pressure. Because looking at the death in custody on Palm Island and looking at a number of other Aboriginal deaths in custody across Queensland over the last 15 to 20 years, we know that the royal commission's recommendations that were handed down in 1991 are being regularly breached by police when they arrest and detain Aboriginal people. We know that when Hurley arrested Mulrunji in November 2004, he breached at least 11 key recommendations of the Royal Commission. That is unacceptable. If the police had honoured and affirmed those recommendations, Brother Mulrunji would have been alive today. And we know in most other death in custody cases, if the police honour and affirm the recommendations handed down by the Royal Commission in 1991, Aboriginal prisoners will have every opportunity to survive the night of the jail. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for any great thing. We're just asking that every time an Aboriginal person is arrested by a police officer, that Aboriginal person is going to live to talk about it next day. That's not asking great deal. And we are asking, coming into the Christmas period, we've done this before. We're asking the Queensland Police Service to work with it to guarantee that every time they arrest an Aboriginal person, they'll remember those 339 recommendations of the Royal Commission, and they'll work with it to ensure that every time an Aboriginal person goes into the watch out, that Aboriginal person is going to come out alive. That needs to happen. We challenge the Queensland Police Service to do that. Not only Aboriginal people, there have also been a number of deaths in custody of non-Indigenous people in very suspicious circumstances. Because in Queensland and in most other jurisdictions across Australia, police don't have to answer to any form of accountability. We saw this incredible situation over the last 36 hours where a 15-year-old kid was shot to death by four police officers in Northcote, Melbourne. 15-year-old kid, non-Indigenous kid, white kid, he allegedly had a knife. He allegedly advanced on the police. Four coppers shot him dead. They didn't try to talk to him. They said they used taps to spray. They didn't try to tackle him or wrestle him to the ground. I mean, you got four huge coppers and one dainty little white kid. And no one tried to do anything, but these four coppers stand back and fire 15 shots into his body. A 15-year-old kid. And you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to have some sort of inquiry that's going to find these four police officers have got no case to answer, and bang, they're back on the streets again. They're going to have the guns again. And how long's going to be before they shoot another 15-year-old kid there? The only way this will stop, the only way we can stop what happened to the Palmyra Watch House in 2004, the only way we can stop what happened in Northgate over the last few days is by demanding that police have to answer for their actions. There has to be a criminal responsibility every time they cross the line. Every time they cross the line and a person is beaten, assaulted, bashed, or killed in their custody, the police have to answer for it. If you or I went out, grabbed a cobber, took him for a ride to Pinkenbar, like they did back in 2004, where they took three young Murray Street kids down to Pinkenbar, terrorised them, bashed them and left them there. And again, the coppers were never charged. But if a Murray, carload of young Murray, if us mob here, went and got a car now, grabbed a copper, put him down to Pinkenbar, flogged him, we'd be banged. Straight into the watch out. Capital charges, life imprisonment. The coppers can do that, and they'll walk free. No one even be charged, no one even be suspended. Yet, other democracies handle things differently. We saw over the last week that young kid in Greece was shot dead by a police bullet. The two police officers at the core of that have been suspended from duty and are facing criminal charges. That was in a matter of 24 hours. But here in Australia, we've had to fight tooth and nail in order to get Hurley charged. That's the second time that a police officer has been charged over death in custody. You've got to go back to 1983, the death of the young Murray kid by the name of John Pat in Roebourne, West Australia. Four police officers on a night in 1983 kicked this young Murray kid to death. He was so severely injured that he actually had brain matter leaking out through his ears. He was found to be dead on the watch-out floor. Four coppers were charged with that offence. The all-white jury was only out for 27 minutes, came back not guilty on all counts. Every time our kids go out on the street, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to see them again, alive? Or we're going to have to go to the morgue to identify them in the same way that so many family members have had to identify victims of a death in custody. Now, as I said, the only way this will stop is if we hold these police to be accountable for what they're doing. We pay the wages of the police. We are members of the public. They are supposed to be answerable and accountable to us. It is not too great a leap to demand that the police respect and honour the laws they're supposed to be enforcing. When the lead up to this Christmas period, after asking the Queensland Police Service that draft is of every police service across the six states and two territories, that every time they take a prisoner into custody, they respect the recommendations of the Royal Commission, and they ensure they work with organisations like Marriwa, other Aboriginal organisations around Queensland, and they try to make sure that every time they take prisoners into custody, that prisoner is going to live and be able to walk out and watch our door next day. That's not asking too much to do that. And like I said, the only way we can ensure that is by maintaining the public pressure that we've been building over these last few months, by maintaining the petition, by continuing to rally, continuing to march, continuing to challenge, and continuing to scrutinise everything that happens out there in the open. Because when the deaths in custody occur, they happen in lock, behind locked watch-out doors. We need to break down those locked watch-out doors, bring it out in the open, and apply the full weight of public scrutiny to everything that happens. We need that to happen with that death in custody and palm oil watch-out as M&I in 2004, because there are so many questions that have still not been answered. And we have made a contract, a solemn contract, with the people of Palm Island. We will continue to struggle and fight for justice. We'll continue to struggle and fight until the person or persons responsible for the unlawful killing of Mon Wadjuk Dibigi and the Palm Island Watchout Seahouse School stands before a court and answers to that. Thank you.
Summating the trade union movement. Yeah. Ask that, please. It's going to be hard to find, so please. Anyone say something? Come on.
Thank you, sir.
I have a short poem here that I'd like to read to you shortly.